Okay. Chapter 6, verse 1. So Paul's wrapping up in the letter to the Galatians, and he's already encouraged them to stand fast in the liberty that Christ has made them free and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And coincidentally, he says that we should not use our liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And I just was thinking about that. That's what most people think we say when you say you're saved by grace. And the first thing they think about is, you mean that you could do anything you want to do and still be saved? Is that true?
That's true. Yeah.
No, can you do anything you want to do and still be saved?
Yes.
You can. Why?
Because he does the
same. Because it never depended on our behavior to begin with to be saved. We don't behave to be saved. We don't behave to stay saved. And you know what? We don't even behave to prove that we're saved. Now, that's a stickler. So if you watch us, you will find some things wrong. But that doesn't mean that we aren't believers. It just means that we have more growth ahead of us. And, should I do that? Should I mention that?
If you want to.
It occurred to me when we were talking this, and I thought about it coming over here, that we, when I wrote down this sequence last week and about... Where we talked about salvation and surrender, sanctification, what is service?
Yeah,
and suffering and the glory that follows. And when we go through the Paul's epistles, you'll see this. You'll see it lays out that way. But we were talking about that, and Ed said, I don't know about that. We should look at that. Because it may seem that I'm putting this up here as a performance standard. And I don't know if anybody else thought that way, because that's not what I'm thinking. But because any given point here, we may be here, 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 here. But you know that this is coming. If you're saved, we still will have partake in glory, whether we do anything or nothing else. Right? Because it's a gift. But the moment you surrender, then he's able to use us. And the only reason I say that is because I don't want anybody to stumble over. Yes.
Well, we surrender when we accept Christ.
That's right. Well, we're talking about service. This has nothing to do with. That's why salvation is first. Okay. Has nothing to do with. This is all after you get saved.
But the point that I was kind of making with you also was that, which made me nervous about the linear line, is that. For instance, with me personally, I was able to be used by God's service, certainly before I totally surrendered. In other words, that we want to yield to God. That's what those verses are all about.
Right.
To yield to God, that's all part of surrendering. Paul was great at it.
Right.
He gave it all up. It was but dung, and he just threw himself totally into the Lord, And therefore, he... became, if we use sanctified to mean spiritual growth, he grew fast, because he surrendered so much more completely than we did. But what I know is I surrender more some days, I surrender less other days. Throughout my life, surrender, I'm not doing it like Paul did it. Now, maybe I should. I should.
Right.
But I'm not.
Any of us are.
In the meantime, I'm still growing spiritually. because the Lord is inside of me, because I am reading His Word, and so it is effectually working in me. So I'm getting sanctified even when I'm not totally surrendered.
Right.
My biggest point, you know, and I've been able to do some service even though I haven't totally surrendered or totally become sanctified, yet He still uses me. So that's my main thing, is that it isn't all one happens before the other and before the other.
And that's why I wanted to mention that again, because when we talked about that, if you look at this as a checklist, it's not a checklist for you to go after. This is just when you study and when you look at these verses, you will see when Paul talks about it, he realizes that these are areas that every believer, you're going to encounter this. Whether you are Galatians who had begun to serve and went backwards, or whether you're the Corinthians who got saved and didn't want to surrender. Or whether you're the Ephesians who were saved and serving, or the Thessalonians who were suffering. It's just a observation of when he's writing and he addresses the saints, the bottom line is, well, I thought, when we get saved, what does God want? What does He want?
He has a
purpose. Well, what is it?
He wants us.
I mean, what does He want? What does He want us for? What does He want?
He wants to walk the path of passing His word, plant the seeds.
Ambassadors of reconciliation.
All that, yeah. That's what'd you say? I didn't hear you, actually.
I said for His glory.
For His glory, right? That's and He tells us that. That's what we. When Paul's writing, what do you think? Why do you think he wrote the Galatians? Do you think he was trying to put them on a performance?
No, he was trying to correct the fact that they were trying to put themselves under a performance.
They were trying to put themselves under performance, and he says, "You believed." You already believed.
Right. What happened?
And what? Yeah. Who did bewitch you that you should not obey the truth? The truth would. When he looked at that, he says, "You did. You did run well." He recognized, this is what I want for you. This not what he wants, but this is what God wants. He wants us all to grow up. And if the moment you start feeling like, if I put this up here, it was not even in my mind. If I put this up here and you think that I'm putting you on performance, then I missed it. I didn't explain it correctly. Because what I want is what he wants. Is for us all to grow.
Exactly. That's what we all want to do. We want to please him.
And I'll say that he says this. He says something to the Romans. Well, we'll get back here in a minute. He said this in Romans. He says in 15, he says that, I know that you're able to admonish one another. To the Romans. And to encourage each other. To do what?
To love. To serve.
To grow.
So, to the Corinthians, he said this to the Corinthians. He says, there's divisions among you. And it has to be that way because somebody has to do to recognize what's approved and what's not approved. Right? So when I put this up there, it's not to say, where are you as far as a comparison type of deal. This is what the letters bear out.
This is what's going on. The way I would look at it is that, like when Steve came in here one day and he says, man, I was talking to this guy about the Lord, and then somebody walks by and I stopped talking to him about it. And he was admonishing himself. I didn't have to admonish him. He was admonishing himself.
Right.
He felt bad about it, you know. And the next time, he was ready. Right, Steve? So, and, you know, that kind of stuff happened to me a lot, too. So to me, this is all part of the life. But There's no way you can surrender 100% before you can be sanctified, or you never get
there. Right. That's what I'm saying. It's not like, okay, I'm here, then I check that off. Okay, next I'm right here.
That's just all part of our walk.
It's in any as the
to different degrees too, because like you were saying that you were serving before you really surrendered.
Right.
But there was a piece that you had to surrender, or you wouldn't have been serving.
Absolutely.
So it's in degrees.
It's degrees.
Right. And I don't want to put that up there.
Not a linear, like you said.
And these not are, by my strength.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
Well, like
exactly.
Teaches about the process words. We have been, we are being, and we will be, and that applies to those things as well.
So, and I know maybe I said it, and it looked like I'm putting why would we spend 36 lessons freeing each other up for me to go back and then put us back on a performance? That's
I didn't feel like it put me in a performance, but it made me sad about where I am. And I had talked to the Lord about it and said, Lord, you're going to have to help me because I'm not very much past salvation. You're going to have to help me.
If it was a linear road.
Yeah, if it's a linear
right.
road.
Right.
So
and that's
pretty down about it.
Yeah. And which is... You know what? I'll say this in love is when he talked to the Corinthians, you know what he said? He said, you can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. He says, don't you know that Christ is in you except you be
reprobate?
And he said, but I trust you know that we are not reprobates. And you know what he says after that? Grow up. But the thing is it's his grace that grows us up.
Right.
So when you went to him, that's great. To say, Lord, this is what I want. You have to want it. And it's not a comparison. It's just what you want. I know people intimately that say, I'm okay right here. And you know what I say? Okay. If you're okay right there, okay. You don't have to worry about anything else. You know, you're still going to be a partaker. Is that what God wants?
And they're still going to grow. That's my point about it, because that really describes me when I first got saved. It was like, man, all my life I knew I was going to hell, and then all of a sudden I'm not. I mean, don't anybody tell me anything else. I like this place right here. But over time, I learned there was more to it, and I wanted to do more things. Just like when I learned the Bible a certain amount, then all of a sudden it's like, I got to tell people about this.
Right.
Not because I'm earning points.
Right.
Not because it's a work I need to do, but because all of a sudden there was this inner desire welling up in me. Hey, I got to share this with others.
Because, like they said, because you begin to believe it.
Right.
And it works. And that's why I say, you know what, it's as long as we're sitting here together and we take this in week after week, day after day, and the fact that you're even sensitive to your growth is a testament to the fact that you are growing. Because those who don't care, they don't care. They don't care about growth.
Well, here's how I see it. The Lord knows our heart. And he knows whether we want to please him or not. He knows whether we want to grow or not. But he has a will for me. And I think he will get me where he wants me. That's
why. He's already got you.
I would say, matter of fact, he said, we already been raised together to sit together in heavenly places. He's already got you where he wants you. And you know what? We'll keep going, because there's some things that might come out. And the thing that, like, what I do want to stress is this, is that I'm not putting any of us on a performance. And if you feel like I am, then that's what you should do is say, you know what? I think you put me on a performance. And I'll say, you know what? Let me look. Because maybe unconsciously, or maybe I said something that you know, you can, in a multitude of words, there lacketh not sin. So maybe I did, or maybe I said that. But that's not my intention, by no means.
But Paul is the one that gave this line right here.
Well, that's
he lived it. He lived it. And it taken you a while to live it.
And he says this, if he says, I'm the pattern, follow me, then we know what to expect. If we go forward, wherever we are, you know, sooner or later, if you begin to witness, good. You talk to people. She's talking to people about this message, and some of them, they're not real. They might say some things. Hey, I'll be there. I love it. I love what you just said. Don't you take that kind of hard when they reject that?
Sure, both her uncle and her father bit at her, you might say.
Yeah.
Their teeth at you when you started trying to teach them grace.
So, and that's what I'm saying is it's not a checklist. So you're sitting here thinking about that, but you've already been up. You've already experienced this. It's like a moment by moment. It's a situation by situation thing. It's not a line where, you know, you're walking around where, well, I'm in the surrender stage now, or I'm in
past sanctification.
Yeah.
Make a right at service.
So anyway, that's and.
But when Paul took his walk on his way to Damascus, not walk, but when he went to heaven with Jesus Christ and took his walk at that point, he had a whole different vision of what everybody's going through to get there here. He got it all at once. It was planted right inside of him. Am I wrong?
Well, he didn't get it all at once, because even right. Even at the end of his ministry, he talks about it.
He went to heaven and walked with Christ.
So he went to the sermon.
Later on, he went.
Not at Damascus. Yeah. Not at Damascus.
On his trip.
Right then, he just got knocked down, and the Lord talked to him and changed his whole life. That's true. But he didn't go to heaven.
I thought he took a walk.
I like your comprehension, though. He did remember that.
Yeah.
I thought he went to heaven and walked around with Christ.
I thought he did.
He may have, because he said, I can't talk about it. We don't know what he did up there. But that makes sense, though. Did it even somewhat clear it up? So it's a. But it just bothered me, because I said, am I that far off of what I'm trying to, you know, to explain? And but I love you. You know I love you. And I don't want anything to hinder our edification here, even if it's me. So you won't see that again. I might make mention of it, because if that's a...
Well, see, I think that what would be really good, and of course you would be really good at, is on any given one of them, like, do a lesson on surrender. And show us the examples and about how that happens, you know, or how it doesn't happen, and whatever it is, you know.
Right.
Because that's what I thought when you were doing all that. I was thinking, I'd like to do one on suffering, because suffering is, because otherwise, you're talking about Paul being a pattern. We better find a way to get ourselves stoned, whipped, killed, if he's our pattern.
Or just labor in the doctrine.
Well, yeah. I know, but that. But he's,
you don't have to do exactly what he did.
Exactly.
Can I be the tent maker?
Right.
So, but you'll see them if we go through the, you know, the verses, and you'll see, you'll begin to see it. So, or even the people that he writes to, or the Galatians.
Yeah.
You can see that they begin to serve. They got saved by grace. He said, have you been started in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? You did run well. They were all the way up and running.
Up, and up to that point.
That's in their walk. They had begun to serve.
Yeah.
And then they went all the way back. Did they lose their salvation?
No.
That's the terminology right there. When I said they went up and they went all the way back,
I got it. I almost made it there to glory, and now I'm all the way back.
So let me see how I can rephrase that. I'll say it like he said. They had begun to run well, and they were bewitched. They were sidetracked in their service.
They fell, like we all do.
Like we all do. And were they? And what did he do?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, "You fell off my performance for you." He said, "I travail in pain again until Christ be formed in you," because that's what he wants. I want what he wants. So that's why he encouraged them to get back to the doctrine and to press on.
So don't feel bad.
Oh no, I'm good. I just had to examine myself to see, you know, what was I saying that was so, and I just saw it when I said that. I just saw it again, but I do appreciate the fact that if it's a problem, you know, don't just let it keep going and say, I just don't get that. We're here to learn, right? We're here to learn and to grow together. So
I'd say this whole experience has been the body working very well.
Sure.
The way it's supposed to.
What? Oh, the Holy Spirit.
Like you said, don't perpetuate and sit there and, you know.
Yeah, because if the edification is stopped, then we're done. I'm done. But
we're blessed to have an assembly where we can speak and it's received, because most churches don't have that freedom.
They don't. That's true. Okay. Chapter 6. He said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And that, here we are. It's even in the best of what we call the best of them, you know, it's a possibility that we all will fall.
We will.
It's a good possibility.
Yes, right.
And you know what? It's one thing to stumble. But if you're overtaken, and we know saints who are overtaken in a fault. But you don't just send anybody to them. He says, "You which are spiritual." Now, who's the spiritual man?
It's the one that's
in the Word.
It's you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The spiritual man is the one who's growing, who's has that same, like Paul said, that earnest care for the body, for that saint. Do you remember in Corinthians where the Corinthians were so carnal? That he said, "Now there's something going on in this assembly that the Gentiles don't even do."
Yeah.
And he said, "You are so spiritual that you're not even addressing the issue."
Spiritual.
That's right. I'm saying that sarcastically.
Okay.
He said, "You are so carnal." He said, "You are puffed up, and rather you should be mourning." Because you're sitting and you're watching this, and you know what they were saying? "Can you believe what he's doing? You know what brother so-and-so is doing, don't you? Can you believe that?" And he said, "You're puffed up. I would never do that. I would never do that." He said, you are puffed up and you should be crying about that. You should be sad about that. And that's what that shows you, that nobody there was spiritual enough to go to that person and try to restore him. You know what Paul had to tell him? He had to tell them, you need to put him out. Because a little leaven, what? He said, now this is, we don't do that today. Should we? Is that consistent with grace? Where you put, when you find a person who's overtaken in a fault, and he said to them, he says, don't even eat with them, that he might be ashamed. And he said, admonish him as a brother, but don't even eat with him.
Paul said that?
That's what Paul said.
It's really difficult.
But if I were lost and I were in a fault and I know this word, and yet Satan's blinded me, I'm off on what I'm going to do, I very much appreciate somebody who loved me and cared about my spiritual welfare to
right.
come to me and say, can we talk about this?
I was going to say that maybe not put them out, but maybe come and talk to them, pull them to the side and talk to them.
Yeah.
I mean, if you put them out.
That's what Paul, but you know what? It's in the early stages. But he did. He said, put him out, that for the destruction of the flesh. Now, if you know, and it says, obviously he was persistent. And they says, well, just you put him out there because inside the body, you can't say that this is tolerated. You can't say that we're okay with what you're doing, brother. So put him out there, and they said, for the destruction of the flesh. You know, sometimes sin just runs its course. Where you might have a situation that you're in, or somebody you know that they're in this situation, and they stay out long enough to get put through the ringer, to put themselves through the ringer, and then when they finally come to their senses, then they realize it's time for me to come back and fellowship. You had your hand up.
No, I had my hand up because I was pleading guilty. Oh.
we're so small that it's a little bit hard for us to imagine, but to me the example would be like, say that we had a group in here, and pretty soon one person's husband is messing around with another person's wife right here, right within this group they're doing it. And you've talked to them,
mm-hmm.
and you've counseled them, and you've tried to get them to stop, and certainly at least stop in here, and they won't even stop in here. Then I think you are faced with that. It's so destructive to the body that you are faced with the possibility of saying, well, then if you're going to insist on continuing that,
right,
stay away until you can get over, you know, or whatever.
And I like the fact that Paul said, you know what, if he's coming, don't even eat with him.
Right.
You know, can you imagine a person that comes and nobody, they just say, hi, brother, and we're going to go out to eat? No. And you can tell them why.
Sure.
No, because how long do you think he'll hang around?
Not long. The destructiveness of the act, because otherwise it's a hypocrisy, because what we've got in here is however many people we are sinners. That in one way or another are thinking wrong, doing wrong, sinning, but we can't see it.
Right.
So we have to know that. That's what you're talking about, coming in meekness and everything when you approach him. And it's got to be somebody spiritual enough to come as I'm a sinner, coming to talk to you. I'm not innocent. But what you're doing is destructive to the community, and you can't do it here.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the way I see that.
And it's a definite, like I said, it is a delicate situation, but and that's what grace, that's what you think about grace. That's why he says, you who are spiritual, is when you have the, you know what the end is.
Yeah.
You know what the Lord wants for that member. And you could not have the same care for that member if you weren't spiritual.
Right.
Because what happens is you learn that we are to love one another and to esteem them better than yourself. So when you do go there, you are considering yourself. You says, hey, this could be me next week. It could have been me last week. But here's where we are, and here's where we need to be. Here's where we would like to be. Not overtaken in your thought, but let's pursue. You know what he told the Corinthians? Pursue holiness, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. How do you perfect holiness as a believer? He said that to the Corinthians. He says, let us perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord.
Study the word.
Holiness is separate.
Is sanctification. Is setting yourself apart. He says, perfect this. He's telling them to work on it.
Which part of that is don't be conformed? That's part of setting yourself apart. Don't be conformed to the ways of
right. Do you know? Do you know how great of an advantage we have by having the written word of God?
Yeah.
Is the Corinthians? They were instrumental in correlating the word, but we have it. Mm-hmm. We can go at any time in any problem that we have. We can look it up, chapter and verse, and you can find out what the Lord's will is in that situation. And you know what? I used to tell a guy, he says, I said, you read it until it works. you don't have to just, you know what? Just read it. And so I don't believe that you could read and come to this word daily, weekly, and it have no effect. Sooner or later, if you're a believer, you're sincere, it's going to work. Like, you know what? You looked up one day and you said, hey, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm a long way from where I was. And you wonder, how did that happen? Because of the word. We take Frank, since Frank's here, is just the word that he's taking in. He may look at it and say, I have a long way to go. But for us spectators watching him, don't we see it? Did we see the growth? And it's something that's it's like planting a tree. And when you look out there, you just see it's growing daily. And before you know it, you got a big oak out there. And he's like, I remember when I planted that tree. And that's how the growth process is. And it happens until we leave. That's, you know what? You're growing even when you think you're not growing. Because it's not you. It's a work that's on the inside. You know what? Genesis, it said this. We'll get back. I was just thinking, it says that the fruit has the seed that's in itself. Mm-hmm. So, like, you have the fruit, and you can take a seed out of that fruit, and you can plant that seed in the ground, and guess what it'll do?
Well,
to what? To the same thing that you had. I mean, think about Christ. He's in us. He's in us. That's why the fruit of the Spirit, he generates his nature in us, because he's inside of us. It's the Spirit that does it. And he takes this word, that Spirit, and works in us, and he produces his own nature after it's his kind, not us. So.
But Frank, if you get that completely, then you're free. Then that's a relaxing of you, because you know, although, yes, we want to please him, we want to be perfect every day in every way, but yet we know that he's working in us.
Right.
And that so that when we fail, our we don't despair because we know He's got us.
Right. So when a believer is overtaken in a fault, if you're spiritual, like if you have that insight that you're going to a person who, you know what, we just tripped up right now. I know the process is working. He's working in you. It's the spiritual person that has to go to them and say, you know, He's working on you, right?
Right. So, we're not supposed to see any man in the flesh.
Get up from there. And I like, you know what, my pastor used to say this all the time, because you know what, in Detroit, some things would happen, and you know, the young girls, they might maybe get pregnant, and then they just go away. I mean, just leave, and he says, nope, go get her. And he would say, come on back in here and bring the baby. Because if you're a believer, you know what, he just said, you just got pregnant. There's some out there doing it now, and they didn't have got caught up yet. He said, you just come on in. Don't hold your head down. Keep going. Because you have to. But a person who's not spiritual, they won't embrace you. They'll condemn you. And that's like pulling the scab off a wound. If you're already hurting, if you're trying to heal, and then you get somebody that comes over there and pulls the bandage off. So let me see how bad you did it. Then you're back at square one. And I look at it as spiritual surgery. You want somebody who's proficient to operate on a believer, don't you?
I think so.
If I was in a situation, I wouldn't want somebody to come to me in condemnation.
That would just get your back up.
That would ensure me right that, well, you know what? I won't be going there. But if I felt like I knew you really cared, if I knew you really loved me and was concerned about my growth, then I would listen to what you said.
So if you were teaching somebody the Spirit, you could really apply the garden to that, couldn't you? Somebody that has worked in the garden and watched it grow and what it takes to make it grow would follow that a little better, maybe, than just a...
Well, I guess if you're trying to say, they would at least know how to be delicate, put it that way, if you want to say that.
I was thinking of accepting to let Christ grow in you is the seed being planted, and from that point on, it's not rushed to get up there every morning and to be at your best. You do what you got to do, and you move on every day, every hour.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm saying
I do. I think you can't force growth anyway. If you plant a seed, you don't go out every day and dig it up and see if it's sprouted. You just plant it and you leave it alone and you water it. You plant it, water it, and then you watch it grow. Because the growth process is you've done all that you can do. That's why Paul says one plants, one waters.
God gives the increase.
And that's, he's talking about people. Right?
I'm talking about people.
Well, I mean, I do understand that. So
you can't be good. I try to, but you know, it wanders off somewhere.
Well,
better than you once were. It's better than you once were, as we all
do. Right. Well, I think about Paul and that walk, and I
Paul
think
is hard. Paul is hard. Be thankful.
Right.
Thank you, Lord.
But he says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And what is the law of Christ?
Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and your neighbor as yourself.
Okay. That's, and it is love. The law of Christ is love. And I'm not talking about emotional love, that we use that term, we think emotion. I'm talking about the term where, look at a couple of verses. Look at Romans 15 and look at Philippians chapter 2.
I was thinking, you know, you were just talking about restoring a brother, and, you know, charity is seeing the truth work effectually in another. So there's a correlation there.
Definitely. That's what did I say? Romans 15 and Philippians 2. Matter of fact, you can look at Romans 14 while we're right in that area. In verse 14, 15, he says, "But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died." Now here's a man who has a problem with meat, whether he should eat it or whether he shouldn't eat it. And it's a stumbling block to him. And here's a believer who knows that he can eat it. Well, would he eat it anyway? And say, "That's your problem. If you don't think this meat is okay, well, you're just a baby. You should grow up." And he just commences to eating it. Paul said,
"That would be a less spiritual man."
That would be a less spiritual man. And then he says, "Destroy not." You are destroying his faith. You're not building. The opposite of edification is to what? To tear it down. So you're after to build him up, not to tear him down. You're after to restore, not destroy. And he says, and when you restore and when you build him up, that's walking what? Charitably. When you think of a charity, what is that? You're doing what? Charity.
You're giving
giving what?
To who?
Or whom?
Those in need.
To those in need. To meet a need. So charity is giving of yourself to the other person to help them be, in this case, what God wants them to be. And that's mature. So if he has a problem, you know what Paul said? He says, if my brother is grieved with my meat, you know what he says? I will eat no meat. How long? Not in his company. Look at verse 14. He said, "I will eat no meat as the world standeth." As long as the world is here, if that meat grieves my brother, he says, "I won't eat meat as the world standeth." That's a long time. That's not just in his presence. He says, "I'll never eat it. If it offends my brother, I'll never eat it." Is that charity? You better believe that's charity.
Yeah. He didn't go ahead and finish that in front of my brother.
No, he said, "I won't. I won't even eat it, not finish it." He says, I won't touch it.
But I have a question. If Paul, which way did you decide that he went? Did they kick the guy out and did they banish him and never deal with him?
Yeah, we'll look at that in a minute. Oh, keep that in mind.
I thought y'all went past that.
We didn't go by there yet. Okay, 15. We're talking about the law of Christ. 15, he says, for even 15:1, we then that are strong ought to what? And not to what? Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to what? For even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So we should always be looking for what? The things that what?
Edify.
that edify each other. We should be looking for that. Let everyone please his neighbor for his good. What do I know would help you? Not hurt you, help you. Then I do that. What do I know that will build you up? Then I do that. If I know that line would hurt you, guess what? I'm going to draw it next week. No, you won't see that line. If it is a stumbling block. So, look at Philippians 2. Verse 4. Okay, 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to talk about what Christ did. And what he did for us. He says, we should look on the things of others. Do you know there's a lot of believers? You know there's selfish believers? I had a guy, he texted me the other day, and I've always helped this guy for years. And sometimes you can use that, and they know that you're a person that would do that. And he texted me, and I said, you know what, I really can't help you this time. Because, you know, sometimes you can be an enabler. You know, they would take that as a weakness, and they just ride in. I said, I can't help you this time. And he texts me, and he says, you should be willing to give a donation for the poor saints. I thought, wow.
He's been studying his Bible.
I said, wow, okay. I should be willing to give a donation to the poor saints, which would be him. I'm the poor saint, and I didn't even respond. I said, you know what? I said, they won't guilt me into that one.
Right.
So I was like one of my friends in Detroit, he said, that's an old Indian trick. I won't fall for that one. But I can see, you know what, you can use that. You can use scripture to make it say what you want,
right,
to serve your benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And
preachers do it all the time.
But and if I had done that, Ed, you know what, it would have been manufactured.
Sure.
It wouldn't have been because I'm really wanting him to grow and get out of his situation. And the Lord said this. He said, you give not grudgingly or of necessity. He said, God loves a cheerful giver. And I would not be cheerful when I gave it to him. That's what Paul said. Love was this. Love would, in Corinthians, if I wanted to do it, he says, if I didn't do it in love, it profits me
nothing.
Now, he would have benefited from the money, but for me, so why do it?
Right, to blew the money for nothing. Don't get burned up.
Right, it has nothing to do right. Because I really, you know, I would have been doing that out of guilt and out of being forced to do it.
But see, to me, that's what really indicates the subtlety of the way God has set this up for us, is that, okay, so I want to love to give. I want to give cheerfully, but I'm not cheerful about it. And that's where right away in comes the law and says, well, get cheerful.
Right.
Instead of the prayer that says, Lord, please help me become a cheerful giver, because I know that's what you want me to be. But right now, I want to be cheerful about it, but I'm just so tight that I'm very uncheerful about anything I give. And I think that's the balance where any one of these things that Paul indicates to us that we should do.
Right.
If we start doing them just out of obligation, then they're no good at all.
And I think you know when you read it.
Let every man give according as he has purposed in his heart, right? That's right.
Right, that's where it starts. If in my heart, and when I talk anyway, so what we're gonna stop here, which
it was great.
Well, it's not quite an hour, but
you're stopping.
Yeah, we're gonna stop there. Yes, yeah, we're gonna stop there. We'll pick it up next week and try to get some more verses down, and get out of Galatians.
Just say you're very thorough, Frank.
Frank, are you ready to get out of Galatians?
Well, you know,
where are you going to go? You just going to the next one?